Good afternoon and welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. As is our tradition on Thursdays, we like to dive right into the mailbag and check with our birthdays and also our letter of the week. First of all, let's get the birthdays out of the week, On September 25th, Tim Cox celebrates 25 years.
And Mike, Tim who?
Tim Cox, Rob. Mm-hmm.
Really? I didn't realize. Is this his birthday already?
Not to be confused with Ronnie Cox.
No, oh, Ronnie
Cox.
Who
was my favorite Cox.
Well, he is a great Cox. He was the best Cox on the barracks on the Gomer Pyle program.
Special prosecutor for Nixon,
Archibald Cox.
He's
right.
A great Cox. What about Cox Farms in Vienna, Virginia? You know their motto.
Timely, Rob. Very timely.
You know what their motto is?
What's that?
You can't lick Cox for fresh produce. That's
Do
true.
Do they stammer when they say it or what?
No, they get it right.
Okay, on September 25th, Tim Cox celebrates 25 years.
That's a really hard Cox motto.
Of becoming cancer-free.
Yes, congratulations.
Oh, congratulations.
He went on to college in Arkansas with a guy named Lou who turned him onto the show back in the early 90s. Last Friday, Jay Chapman turned 36. He and his wife, Dana, listen and say we're part of the family. Victor Castro turned 42 on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
He's our number one gay in Northern California.
Yes. I didn't know.
Did he write this, Buzz?
He did, and he'd like us to sing him a fabulous version of the Happy Birthday song.
I didn't know the new rankings were out.
Victor Castro. Right. Can there be any gayer sounding name?
Victor Astro.
Hello there, Mr. Castro.
They named a district after him.
He's our number one gay in Northern California. We'd love a fabulous round of Happy Birthday. Get well wishes to Laura Walker, who just had foot surgery from wearing stiletto heels.
That's what she says.
Wow.
I know her pain.
Yes, you do.
Sorry.
We don't
Just
know.
A theory.
It's a theory.
Just a theory.
Exactly.
And,
are you thinking of Chris Rock?
Some guy.
She takes care of her kids.
Some guy claiming to be Buzz Burbank has a birthday tomorrow. So, yeah, it's
That's
your birthday
true.
Tomorrow. Did
that
you put that on there for
I
yourself?
I did, yes.
What are we doing for his birthday, Mark?
A whole lot
tomorrow for Buzz's birthday.
Well,
should be special.
Yeah.
It's you know what? Before I read the letter, because I'm gonna assume the letter's uplifting.
In a way.
Is this death and destruction and doom and disease?
It's the story of a young man who's faced trials and tribulations and says that this show lifts him out of that.
Okay. All right, let me read it. All Buzz, right. Yeah. I had to let you know how much I appreciate what you guys give so freely.
Mm-hmm.
Not that freely.
Some
if
of
we
it
can help it.
We charge for
it. About 3 months ago, I was informed by my wife that she loved my best friend more than me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh, man. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. There we go.
Yeah.
I'll do that voice.
That's it.
About 3 months ago, I was informed by my wife that she loved my best friend more than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always been her second choice.
Second choice.
It's nice when a girl
says
that.
Why did I look ironic when I said that? And now that he was available, she'd be leaving me, despite our two kids and the fact that I was a good husband and father.
Good father.
I was shattered.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shattered is the worst.
During that time, your show became a one-hour daily reprieve from the difficulties that came from grieving my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, pal, I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I really feel like without having that short bit of time to check out from the pain,
just a bit,
I may have lost it.
You know what happened here, Mike? His wife was so sad because she wanted Lil Melzer. And she got Mark Ronick.
Or a better Ronick.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Repeating, he says, I really feel like without having that short bit of time to check out from the pain, I may have lost it. I am so grateful. Thanks for doing what you do. And know that a new generation is being prepped for listening. My 4-year-old told me, how dare you, when I sent her to time out the other day.
That's great. That is great.
Thanks again, Larry. And that's a listener. I won't mention
our,
the last
our
name.
Our letter of the week.
Larry, a listener since the 5th grade. And, well, I'm happy to hear that, Larry. And you know what? It always gets better. And really, in about 6 months, you forget them.
Yeah.
Totally. Unless you have kids.
Yeah.
Then you got to deal with them. Exactly. But anyway, that's a little primer, a little divorce primer.
Thank you, Mike. That's
tip.
Very
All right,
helpful.
Before we open the show, you stopped me in my tracks.
I teased you a bit.
We have
the
a
show.
Health update for Buzz Burbank that's not good.
Well, it isn't great. I mean, I'm not going to die again or anything, so far
good.
As I know. But
ultimately,
and,
you will.
And this, the news
guess
actually.
We'll all have to wait to split that pie a little better.
Actually, it comes in stages. First, I found out. yesterday at the dentist. You know our dentist of the stars, Dr. Dana.
Yes. Yeah, a guy I haven't seen in like a year and a half since I had bad insurance.
I love when I walk in there and they say, "How you doing, Rob? Where the hell is Mike?"
I know. Yeah. I got to go there.
They did inquire about you.
Again. My teeth are in great shape.
We'll get back to the bad insurance in a moment. But first, let me say they determined yesterday that I need a root canal.
All right.
As soon as possible.
No big deal.
I've heard that. I've heard that it's not what it used to be. It's
Have you ever had one? It's
not, I've never had one.
Oh, my God.
And I've heard terrible things about them, but I'm also hearing it's not a big deal the way it used to be.
No, it used to be horrible because they couldn't anesthetize you properly to get the pain
It's
away.
So much better now that Dr. Dana has the high-speed drill.
Yeah, is that he's not using the pedals.
Unless, of course, it costs thousands of dollars and you realize your insurance doesn't cover that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's and they need to do it as soon as possible, but I told them we're going on a trip. I can't do that.
Right.
So now, as we drive back from Iowa in the RV, it'll be like a march to death row for me because I know that at the other end of that is the root canal that I'll be shelling out the cash.
Which is
for.
Why Buzz has planned the second leg of our trip with 15 stops.
That's right.
Is that your health update?
That's my health update.
Oh, that's bull. Thank you. Start the show.
Listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again.
The strangest thing about Apple is it hasn't had a good consumer product. Here's one of the best consumer brands in the world, and they haven't had a compelling product under $2,000. And the one we introduced today, the iMac, is incredibly sweet.
What is iPod? iPod is an MP3 music player. Your entire music library fits in your pocket.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone, and we are calling it iPhone.
Is there room for a third category of device in the middle? Something that's between a laptop and a smartphone. And we call it the iPad.
So thank you very much to our extended families out there who make it possible for us to work our tails off making these great products for you.
Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Enjoyed in 148 countries around the world from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios.
Yay!
Cappy is sitting in with us today, our number one supporter of this show,
right.
And somebody who has supported us from the very beginning and still believes that she has to talk to me and say, would it be okay if I sat in on a show?
In the studio named for me.
I mean, that's kind of like, just consider that automatic.
Yeah.
All right, that's automatic, but we are delighted to have you here with us today. This is MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yeah.
It is Thursday, October 6, 2011, and we are over 9.5 million downloads and still growing every day.
Wow.
I will have some thoughts on this show momentarily that I think most of you in the room will find ridiculous, but I want you to know they are from the heart. And I had an epiphany, and it's true. I swear to God.
Okay,
and it's not because Cappy's here. It's not because of any other reason that what happened to me yesterday. I'll tell you.
When did you have this epiphany yesterday?
Yesterday afternoon. Our show today is brought to you by MC Ginsburg. MC Ginsburg is your very own fun factory.
Ginsy.
Always think Play-Doh when I hear that.
Yeah.
I really think Play-Doh.
And they kind of do that with metal. They can make, for example, a metal epiphany for you.
Thank
if
you.
You like.
It's jewelry of all kinds. It's little works of art that you create yourself. Don't buy something a million other people get. If you need an object or dream up an object, contact MC Ginsburg. Visit mcginsburg.com or click their ad on our website. MC Ginsburg builds your imagination,
right.
And we thank them for being a big part of our trip out to Iowa.
It is so great that you say Play-Doh because they've got a new device at Ginsburg's now. It's a chair that you sit in. And if you crank it, gold comes out of your head.
Very exciting.
It's
very
gorgeous.
Way to
painful.
Go, Ginsy. And who knows, we might park the RV on your lawn. We're not sure just yet what's going on. On today's program, I'll talk about the little epiphany I had.
Yes, please.
My new pick hit. right out of the box
TV?
For a TV. And we might agree on it, hopefully. Mark, we have not gotten to your sleepwalking story all week long. Want to finally get to that.
Yes.
A call from a friend of Oscar's last night named Tanner Cooley.
Oh, that must have gone well.
At 10 o'clock last night.
We're going to go long today.
Did he say, listen,
where do we eat? That's what I was trying to map some stuff out and then got overwhelmed with it very quickly. God, that was today's breakfast. Back on solid food today.
Boy, those eggs, I bet you thought you've never had a steak that tasted as good as those eggs this morning.
RJ and the RV.
Yes.
My concerns.
Oh.
And Steve Jobs, we'll start with that today.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs, before I talk about Steve Jobs, I just want to say, Ann Curry.
I know.
I get the impression, Ann Curry, and I might be totally wrong, but when I watch you, I get the impression that Ann Curry hears that somebody dies, and she is the first one into the newsroom. Can I say it? Can I say it? Can I say it?
She loves it.
She has to, because nobody overblows something more than she does. Yeah, Steve Jobs. I mean, there is not, I think, anybody in this country that hasn't known somebody, at the very least, that has been affected by this man's inventive mind. Mm-hmm. And this is really, in my humble opinion, and I agree with all the hype on it, he is the modern-day Thomas Edison.
Yeah, he is
I
our
do
Edison.
Believe that.
He is our
well
Edison.
He, you know, and, you know, let's get more Steve Jobs down the pipeline, because God knows we need him in this country.
We need to educate
innovation,
them.
I think, is going to pull us out of our doldrums. I really do believe mm-hmm. that. With that said, and a very sad day for you know, for a man who gave so much to the world technologically.
Sure did.
But Ann Curry, for God's sake, don't talk in your sad voice.
Modeling,
for the entire yeah. And then Matt tries to get back up to the norm, but Ann's gotta tell us how sad her voice is.
I'm so glad
somebody's gotta slap her in the face and tell her I don't need that when somebody is dead.
You know, it'd be most effective if Al Roker was the one who slapped her, but that's just me.
I agree.
But you know,
and incidentally, my theory, just behind the scenes, this is all theory.
Yeah,
it's a theory that
but
she
we've
gets.
We've had this theory. For
we've
a
had
long
this
time.
Theory for a very long time. It's a theory that she runs down to the newsroom and says, "I want to announce that he died."
Am I saying too much know, if I think there's a chair on the Today Show that's a little damp? That's,
no, she's
I really think she gets
she
excited,
gets excited about it. And I think
we share this. I had the feeling when I was watching it this morning that she's the one that got up at 4:45, called the sound department at NBC, said, "Can you get out there? Was just a hurricane theme song."
Yeah,
get out there.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
the really
exactly.
sad, music.
Sad music.
I mean, I love Steve Jobs, and you know, it's funny. I used three of his things just on the way to get here today.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
It's
and when you saw the kids
technology.
Out in front of the studios
on
these TV shows, and they're all holding up their iPhones, it's very cool.
But still, I think even Steve Jobs himself would want his life to be celebrated
yeah.
and not mourned.
Right.
That's the impression I get. So don't play the "We Just Had a Hurricane"
maybe
music.
It's the Irish thing. Maybe it's the fact. And I think Anne is half Japanese, half Irish. I think her father might have been Irish,
actually,
if I'm not mistaken.
Half Japanese, half witted.
So I just don't. And the sad voice, maybe for your first sentence, but you keep the sad voice going the whole time. Do you use that sad voice to communicate to me, you stupid dunderhead, that I have to feel sad when I'm you know, am I disappointed? I think it's
we all
I think
are.
But it's not John Lennon, as Steve Wozniak, who I had on the old show, said. It's not. It's John Lennon for Steve Wozniak, but it's not. And it's John Lennon for the Apple employees.
But
and
Mike,
it's maybe John Lennon for Mark Ronick.
But Mike, who doesn't have an iPhone?
But I also
know somebody.
You know, and
does.
As I diminish Ann Curry's presentation, I don't want to diminish the fact that just because a guy headed up a corporation and invented things doesn't mean he's any less important to the American psyche.
No.
And he really, really
of course.
Is. And you look at that. I hold in my hand a device that is still relatively new to me that has changed my life.
It's miraculous.
I really...
What is that?
I, you know, it's really... Stop it. And it really, to me, is something that, you know, that I hope they continue innovating. Because there are things on here...
Yep.
I mean... Where were we before apps? You think about technology like that. Technology to do anything. An app can do. You know, there's an app for that.
Somebody said he invented things that we didn't know we needed until he invented them.
I love looking back on like cartoons like from the 1930s that would show you the house of the future.
Yes.
And
Disney
they would also, they would have like, look at this, moving sidewalk, an egg that cooks itself. We don't have any of that stuff.
Flying
we don't
cars.
Need that stuff. Do
we
you
don't.
Know the only thing that, and I talked to Big Daddy, my grandfather, before he passed, the only thing that really, really changed in his lifetime is the smartphone.
Right.
He said, that is something I couldn't
revolutionary.
Even, I couldn't even picture this in the 70s.
And even, you know,
this is what's changed our life.
I'm over at Channel 50, the other Channel 2050, the CW
right.
here in Washington, D.C. And the guy that brings me down, one of the techs that was in the TV studio, brought me down to the studio. And he's walking down. He says, and he flips open his little Samsung, whatever he's in.
Right.
He said, I got to get a new one of these. I said, yeah, my God. And I looked at his phone and I said, Jesus, that is old technology.
Yeah, yeah.
And you realize you know, how far we have come with that. So it's very, very...
It seems to redouble every
year. It's very important to mark the passing of this guy because he was so significant as far as inventions and everything he did. But at the same time, don't tell me, Ann Curry, that I need to be sad for
don't
people.
Tell me how to
it
feel.
It all boils down to that. Ann Curry wants us to know how we should feel.
Right. Or she wants to demonstrate
how
sad she is.
How compassionate she is.
It is the single most annoying
phone.
Thing
Do you
that
think
the television...
Sad,
completely phony.
Do you think she was sadder about the passing of Steve Jobs or sadder that she screwed up getting those hikers released from Iran?
She got no credit, and then there was Amanda Knox, and that was it. That was all she wrote.
Good night, nurse.
Nice try.
Just a few other comments on television because, I am not necessarily a huge fan of TMZ, but as much fun as we had with the Nancy Grace farting, TMZ,
I got to
tip my hat to TMZ. They hit it out of the park, and it's her. You see the facial expressions, her little, trying to cover it up. And then, is it Harvey Levin?
Yes, that's the guy.
Harvey Levin comes out, and I think he described the fart, that it's the kind of fart that you've got it within yourself, and you're fighting, and finally, it just can't
forces its way out.
Stay in you anymore.
Can't win.
Yeah. Oh my
Busts
God!
Out of you.
Really? I mean, that is to me. Do we have the Nancy Grace?
Oh,
once
I think
again?
We have.
Because I think it's one of the best tapes.
I'll
we've
tell
had
you this
month.
Much: it was big.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
But how big was it?
So big.
If she'd wear something.
Of course she denies it. She's a TV conjurer.
Yeah, but how fast did the other contestants say it was real?
I know.
And not just a noisy one. One that had the luggage of odor.
I know.
And you know what, Mike? The smell of the fart.
Oh,
the smell was big.
So big.
Oh.
And I blame the corset.
You know, it would seem to me that, if you had that within you, you would be laying that out there during the dancing portion.
Yeah.
The band's kicked up and you're moving around the dance floor and the wind can circulate a little bit.
That's what forced it through the system.
That's a big inconvenience, though, Mike.
It was great.
So big.
It was great. Oh, my God. All right, another TV note from last night. I am super, super thrilled with this new television show.
I can't wait to hear
it. And it's American Horror Story.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
This is, I hope I'm not going overboard here.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
you liked it.
This is one of the most innovative, trailblazing television shows I have seen in a very, very long time.
So give me a thumbnail because I did not watch TV last night. Okay,
it's
let me ask questions.
Stuff. It's got scary, but
okay,
it
let
doesn't
me ask
have
you
scary
this.
As much as it just has interesting.
Is it an anthology series? Do we get a new story every week or is it a plot arc?
I believe it's a plot arc. In fact, I know it's a plot arc.
Okay.
So it is a plot arc and man, oh man, it's just so terrific. I can't even describe it. It's got so many different movements in it.
And it's got Lang in it.
It's got Jessica Lange, who's you get a little, I'm not going to give it away. You got to watch the first episode. You kind of figure out what she's all about towards the end. It to me, the innovation, it's got scary.
Right.
It's got phenomenal acting. And damn
good.
It, I meant to write down the name of the actress that stars with Dylan McDermott in this, but she is the bomb.
Is it Ruth Buzzy?
It's not Ruth
how
Buzzy.
How is Dylan McDermott? Because you were concerned
he's
that maybe
terrific.
He wouldn't be that great.
The show is... It's so weird, and I'm like, well, how do you sustain this? You think of a horror movie as something, it's on and gone.
Sure.
Right? Maybe there's a sequel.
You build to the shock, but once the shock is gone, where are you?
I'm talking about, if they can sustain this energy they have, it's so well photographed. It's so well acted. It has scary when you need it, but it's not all about the scary. It's got some funny in it.
You love a thriller. Is it a thriller?
It's not.
It's not really.
You can't put it in a box.
Okay. All
you
right.
can't put
I can't
it in
wait
a box.
To see it.
It's just
love quirky.
It's got unique concepts that I've never seen before that really, really work.
I can't wait
what
to watch
is
it
so
tonight.
Odd about this?
Check out The Maid. That's all I want you to know. Check out the maid.
What I find so surprising about this is we've gotten reviews like this from you before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But never when you've had a non-drinking night.
This was a non-drinking
a sober night?
Yeah, we were very stone-cold sober night.
Nice. I really wish that
Oscar's been quiet up to now. How are you, Oscar?
Hey. I want to apologize, everybody. I'm the a-hole. Yes.
Well, now that you're all here and I got a little bit of time, let me just say this, okay?
Okay.
This is very, very important. And I don't want to come across as egotistical with this, but I got to say this. Mm-hmm. Because I swear to God, in all the years, in the 2 years, I'm going to say the 2 years we've been doing this podcast,
okay.
Almost 2 years, this has never happened to me. And, you know, everybody knows the radio things that I've been through recently. And I'm driving home yesterday.
Is this your epiphany?
I'm coming. Yeah, this is the epiphany.
Cool. Okay.
And I'm driving home, and I know this is not, for people that listen to this show, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I don't care. Mm. As I'm driving home, I'm flipping around, and I'm just popping, and I usually scan. I'm a turbo scanner on the radio.
Horrible wasteland.
And I just,
vast.
I turn on all these different shows, and I'm trying to listen. Sometimes they're good, sometimes not. Mm. This particular afternoon, it's just a wasteland. Mm. There is nothing going on. Mm. There's nothing compelling.
Right.
There's nothing good on the radio to listen to. Right. And I meant it. And I don't mean to say this because we're not on the radio.
Right.
But the fact is we're not on the radio, and there was nothing to listen to. So I pop in. I connect the old iPhone.
Which you never do this.
I never do. I've never done this.
Right, right.
I've listened to bits and pieces if there's something I want to get from the show. Uh-huh. I've never put it on to listen to a show.
I
am here to tell you, and I say this to everybody in this room, because I don't think I've ever really said it. This is the funniest cast of people I have ever heard. I stand by our little discussion yesterday, and I was part of it, but I'm listening to it, and I include Mr. French.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Who doesn't, I didn't even know Mr. He just pisses me off all the time. He's a friend of mine, but he pisses me off. I didn't even know he was funny, but everybody's contributing. Yeah. Mark and Buzz and Rob and Oscar and RJ, everybody on this show. And I'm not saying this because Cappy's here and she's a big fan of the show. I'm saying this because I called Carla. I swear to God. Yeah. I called Carla. I said, Carla, Jesus Christ, we're funny.
And she said, who is this?
And she said, I've been telling you that. What do you think the people that download the show?
I like this epiphany.
What do you think the people that download the show? I mean, you guys are really talented. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm blown away.
Oh, that's swear to God.
So nice.
I swear to God. I'm listening to this, and the just casual discussion that I think we take for granted. Mm-hmm. We're talking about pooping in an RV.
Right.
I'm unhinging my jaw laughing, and I was part of that discussion a couple hours earlier.
I know.
It was really something where I went, man, I kind of get it.
I'm glad you listened, because it's very different listening to the show than it is doing it.
It is.
You know, and we are very comfortable with what we do, but it's entirely different when you hear it back.
It's entirely different.
Isn't it amazing how, whether it's your show or another show, it's almost... You know the quality of the show you're putting out, because you almost forget that you're part of that show.
Right? Yeah,
you do. Just enjoy the conversation.
And I was literally at a moment where, Jesus, there's nothing on. And
never is.
And I'm bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I say to everybody, man, oh, man, first of all, for the people that download this show every day, excellent taste. And for the people that haven't done it, spread the word.
Yeah,
I am now, you know, because of my current employment status and the fact that this is it. Oh my God, this is it. I am out there now.
Gotta be okay.
I am maniacally promoting this show.
Good.
To people.
You really had a similar epiphany that I did.
Really?
I was watching the George Harrison movie. I think you guys probably discussed it.
Right. Yeah, we haven't discussed it yet, but I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Let me say this, that I have dogged on the Beatles for 33 years.
Mm-hmm. You have?
For 33 years.
It's part of your stick on the old Big O and Duke show. It's been part of your stick here. Right.
When they went to iTunes, I didn't care.
Right.
I thought everybody was making
it. I remember you poo-pooed it that day.
It was just horrible.
I hate when he poo-poos.
Especially on an RV.
God, that's the worst. Yeah.
Very good.
And after watching just part one, and it's really Rob will give it its due, I sat there and I said, this is why people love this band.
Right.
Yeah.
I had to be, basically, I sat down like a toddler and I saw it on HBO and I said, well, why is Spiewak so into this? Uh-huh. And I sat down and I watched it and I said, I am the lowest common denominator.
Right.
I can't believe that I never gave respect to A, these artists, and B, this group that I just thought was old school and I just didn't give them their due.
Well, so it's so great you're in, and I'm glad that it was the George thing that brought you in, because George is my favorite Beatle.
Really?
Is George your favorite Beatle?
He is.
And the only one I ever met.
You met George Harrison? Oh, you interviewed him.
Yeah, I met George Harrison in London at the Prince's Press Conference. Back when radio stations actually did things.
I don't know what I would do if I met him. I mean, now I'd probably scream my head off. But back then.
Well, it was backstage at the Prince's Trust Rock concert. Man. And I will always remember that at that concert, this is well before 9/11. This is the 80s. And I will never forget the fact that security was just, you had your pass, you went back there, it would never exist today.
Right.
Yeah. You flash a pass and go.
Yeah, you walk backstage, and I'm walking by George. I'm walking by Brian Adams. I'm walking by George Harrison. And I said to Frank, our old producer, I said, Frank, get him, please. He's just there, please. Let's walk up to him. And we walk up to him, and then I said, and we've got our tape recorder. And I said, can you say, I never listened to the Don and Mike show. And we played it for years and years. Hi, this is Joel Harrison.
Yeah.
So play some of me records, and maybe I'll listen. And then he was off. You know?
I ask you this question every time, but I just love your answer.
Yep.
Was he cool?
He was a little afeared.
But he came off as cool.
Of course, he came off as just very, very cool. And it was just like, oh, it's so cool. He was George. But a little wary.
Which normally you would be
in that situation.
Sure.
But I'm glad you came. The one thing I would tell you about the Beatles is my theory on the Beatles. And my daughters actually have said this to me. Listen to two Beatles albums and try to get songs that that are similar.
There were songs they were playing.
There's one song sounds like this. One sounds
right.
Like, there's such variety
in what they do within the album. I'm not just talking like from album to album. Yeah.
I was sitting there. I was like, they sang this song because people have covered their song so much.
Yeah. Right.
I attribute it to another artist.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I've been covered more probably than anybody. How the hell did I ever get a radio job in music radio?
Oscar, I don't want you to burn your fingers, but tomorrow I'm going to bring you Rubber Soul. I want you to listen to Rubber
Soul. I don't know who that is.
That's an album. We're just going to start you easy.
Did he know who that was?
Yeah, he did.
Sounds 1964.
Sounds like a guy.
Rubber Soul 66.
It's a great album by the Beatles.
Yeah. It's one of their best, and I think it's a great starting point for you.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I got to talk to Oscar now that he's here about my conversation last night at about 10 o'clock. The phone rings, and it's Tanner Cooley.
Ooh.
Had he known, he would have been here on time.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Jeez.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Our second segment is brought to you by Wait Not. Unbelievable results you can believe in. WaitNot.com, 855-934-4486, or call 855-WAIT-NOT. Rob Spiewak, you have a big story to tell about Wait Not today.
I had an amazing Wait Not day yesterday. This was my first time going out to dinner since I started the program, and I was nervous. Because, you know, it's easy. It really is easy to lose weight if you go home and just stick to exactly what you want to do.
Out of the book, yeah.
But what's nervous and what's really sort of hard to deal with is, can I go out and live a real life and still stay to this plan?
That's a good question.
So, on the way home, I went and got lunch at Jersey Mike's. I tried something new. It was basically a turkey sub without the bread.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. And I said,
hey, Jersey Mike.
Fantastic. But then the family and I took Cappy out to dinner last night.
Nice.
And I said, gosh, I guess I'll stick to the plan. Got myself a small filet, some asparagus,
nice.
And some iced tea. Do you know that even after two meals out yesterday, I woke up one full pound down. I'm down to over 23 pounds.
Wait, not both.
Nice job.
I mean, you just stick to the letter of it, and you can do this in real life. This is food your family can eat. This is food you can eat. Just stick to the binder they give you, and you're going to lose the weight.
And
it's
maybe,
amazing.
You know, look, not everybody's going to be like this guy, but maybe someday you can be like Mr. French,
oh my God,
who is 8 pounds away from losing 100 pounds on Wait Not.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Pretty good stuff, and you're
Rob,
chugging along.
Congratulations on getting things going. You're doing wonderful. I can see it in you.
And you can see you can. Yeah. You're now the grand man.
I'm chasing you.
You're the man.
Come on, bring it on.
Come on,
because I'm starting the phase all over again this week.
I started two days ago.
How many in 2 days?
8 pounds.
Jesus,
Mike, isn't that amazing?
There's a lot of weight loss in here, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you have like nuclear fission going on in the basement? Is there another reason we're losing weight in this house that we don't know about?
Might have something to do with the Red Sox.
Why do your teeth glow?
I don't know. So, unbelievable results you can believe in, and we go on about it because it works, and we want you to do that
very
too.
Cool.
Let us know if you have success too.
Please.
We'll share it on this show. Okay. Yeah. Now listen. Listen up.
Ring.
Last night, watching my, just getting ready to watch my American Horror Story, and the phone rings, and I see it's Tanner Cooley, and it had vibrated, and I missed the first call, and I just wanted to wait. I was going to call him back.
You were talking about your phone, by the way, that vibrated.
And he
moved.
Something else was, it moved. And then I see that he's left a message, and Mike, Tanner Cooley, call me. I'm like, oh, boy.
Now, thanks for the details, Tanner.
Now, I said, yeah, well, I leave messages like that only one way. I leave messages like that when I don't want, you know, when I want somebody to call me back, and I mean business. And it was kind of a business-like thing. And I don't know Tanner well, but I've he's been on the show a couple of times, and he was nice enough to put me in the movie and stuff like that. And I really raked him over the coals the other day. And I, to the extent where I got on the radio and did it, I got on this show and did it, and I really kind of regretted it right after I did it.
I understand.
And Oscar, I think, knew that I'd done it. Now, yesterday I made a reference to that.
You
that
did.
I had done that. And so I said, you know, I said, Tanner, if you go back, he said he was like halfway through listening to the
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Even the people we love and care about are sometimes behind.
Right.
And Tanner's in the midst of like a PR battle with Tony Romo and his brother.
Right.
And he runs his brother Chris Cooley's PR. So I imagine he's been like just super busy with trying to figure that out.
Right.
He was on Jim Rome Is Burning, all these other things going on.
Right.
And I get a text from Tanner that said, what's up with Mike? Oh. So I figured it took him a couple days to finally catch up.
So he heard it, and it was, look, I regretted that as soon as I was done, because I don't really know Tanner. I don't. And it was like, and I, what I told Tanner, and I'll say it on the radio, I'll say it the exact same way I said it to him. I was jealous, and I also think that when we're promoting something, you need an angle. You need a hook.
Sure.
And my hook was to take my honest feelings of jealousy, and I'm not going to attack my old pal Oscar here, who I know and love, but Tanner, I don't feel that same way about. I don't love Tanner. I don't know him that well. And I figured, I'll take some shots at him, and I really went over the top. In fact, I went further than I normally would go. And you know what? When I do that, I did regret it. I regretted it after I did it, because he has been very kind to me in the past. And then, so that's what I told him last night, because I really meant it. And I normally wouldn't, you know, I said, Tanner, you know, if I didn't feel that way, I would not have called you back. I would not, I assumed you were going to be upset.
Prank call.
You would just avoid the call. Yeah.
Yes. That was it.
Well, Mike, there are basically two kinds of people in the world. There are those are the people that love Tanner. And then there are the people that don't love Tanner
now stop
yet.
It. Now stop.
Don't love him yet, but will.
You're
gotta
scaring
get
me.
To no,
you're making me
I
nervous.
Thought,
good guy.
I thought what was interesting
the bottom line, I don't care about who he is and his brother being a famous football player. Right. That doesn't matter. What matters is Tanner has been extremely kind to me over over the last few years, including the movie and all that good stuff. So I'm very, very happy that I got a chance to chat with him. I said at a later date he can come on the program. I did not tell him the
30th.
One thing that might have been a little negative, which is I'd still love his place on that show. But anyway, I'm not going to tell him. I'm kidding.
Accidents happen.
Of course.
But I also didn't want to make it uncomfortable for you working with him. And we had a very nice conversation.
Yeah, good.
And a very honest conversation. Sometimes, really, what I hate are radio people, and there's so many of them, politicians, radio people.
Cowards.
That think that if you admit that you have gone a little too far and you say you're sorry if you've hurt somebody's feelings, that it makes you a weaker guy, that you have to stick
here.
I don't have that computer chip in me. And the fact is, I know that some of the things I said were very over the top and kind of in the heat of the moment, in the middle of the shtick, in the middle of how to present this whole new thing with Oscar because that we're not involved in. It was kind of a way of me punching around that and kind of blowing off that jealousy steam while at the same time trying to be funny. And
we needed a victim. We needed a victim.
And he was, and he didn't deserve to be
don't worry.
Treated like
you
that.
Know, halfway through Roseanne, they replaced the daughter.
So anyway, that's
tomorrow belongs to Noah.
Yeah, he's going to come on the show at a certain time. And, you know, now when he comes on the show, I just want to say this, and I hope he listens to this too.
Yes.
He ain't coming. I, with that said, and with my apology out there, I ain't going to sit here and be a punching bag. That is not, because that will go from me being very, very magnanimous and saying I'm sorry because I went too far, and that could turn on a dime.
You both enjoy busting balls.
Radio.
Yeah, but this is my, you know.
Right. Your
no
house.
One.
Right.
And I mean no one. This is like when you go to a ball game.
Right.
Comes into our house.
Exactly.
Right. And pushes us around.
But this is literally your house.
Literally my house.
Unless you're the Red Sox.
Unless you, well, if Carly, Carly Yastrzemski could come in here and push me all over the floor.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter to
there
me.
There are more of us than there are of him.
But so. The conversation went well. And
I'm glad you guys got a chance to talk. Because after he said, I called him, we talked, he goes, I'm coming on the show. And I said, okay, awesome.
Did he say it in a threatening way?
No, it was just I'm just kidding. That's all it was.
I'm coming on that show.
Did he say that before there? Before he's before he talked to me?
After he talked to you.
Oh, after he
said,
talked
I called
me.
Him, we talked, I'm coming on the show. That's all he said.
No, he didn't go into any more detail.
No, that was it.
Well, that's a little creepy.
Well, give him a couple of days to hear this show.
Well, Mr. Man, you're going to do a little recon for Daddy before he does come on the show.
Sure.
But we still want the producer first.
Be aware.
Yes, exactly. Next Tuesday. Aware. Does that work next Tuesday before we hit the road?
No. Anyway, let's get him after the road.
Okay.
Let's get him after the road.
You want.
To be honest, Monday and Tuesday next week are going to be
crazy.
Ramping up, getting
so
ready
you're gonna
to go.
Hate my
I
idea.
Want, because Tanner's, that's going to be a big deal. And I think the road trip next week is I think long term. I'm thinking long term.
So you're really going to hate my idea then.
What's that?
I asked Tanner to come on the bus. So
the bus would be better.
Okay, then we'll put him on the RV.
All right, now finally, and we have time finally to Mark Ronick and his sleepwalking.
Oh,
we have not gotten to that.
I wanted to know why there was a pad of paper on your front porch.
How are you doing with your sleepwalking?
I haven't sleptwalked since it happened a couple weeks
ago.
Good.
But you guys know, I think we've played a tape before of my snoring.
Yes.
I have excessively loud snoring.
You are the loudest skinny snorer I've ever heard.
Yeah, usually it's the fat guy.
Right. Yeah, right. Because it's an apnea thing with the fat like on the neck just going.
By the way, mine is cleared up.
Yeah, it does. Weight is
really?
A huge, huge deal.
Carrie,
maybe
I should
so go
happy.
On waiting on.
Yeah.
But and then also talking in my sleep has been an issue.
Ooh.
I think I've told you guys before there was one time where I was sleeping. Melissa was next to me. I sat up out of a deep slumber and started going, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And then I just I laid right back down and fell back to sleep.
Wow.
That's an extreme case. Normally it's more like 10%.
Yeah. That's very true.
Well,
do you take medication? I'm sorry.
No.
I missed. So it's just sleepwalk.
It's well, then what happened the other night.
He takes medication occasionally.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
From the earth.
So anyway, what I was doing
all
this
natural.
Time, my daughter every so often will call in the middle of the night because
what is
know,
she
she's
out?
Had a nightmare.
Oh, she yells.
Or,
she's not on
you know,
the phone.
She whatever
calls
it may
out.
Be. Yeah. And usually I'm the one to get up because I can go back to sleep instantaneously.
Oh,
so I, you know,
amazing.
I'll go, I'll see what's wrong, and then I'll go back to bed and I'm out cold. My wife is a very light sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
So when she gets up, it's, you know, an hour
that's
or two
horrible.
Before she can go back to sleep.
What'd she wear?
My wife?
She's sleeping.
Nothing at all.
Does she sleep in the nude?
No. She wears, you know, pajamas.
Pajamas?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love Lucy pajamas. Big, flouncy, huge buttons on them. Yeah.
Tops and bottoms.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
That's really awkward.
That yeah.
Hey, you know what? That's called shoe on the other foot for a change.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Yes. That's all that
that's
is.
Fine.
But I am curious.
Something
she's
of
a fetching woman.
We all are.
A revealing nightgown?
Right.
Yeah.
Daddy's shirt?
You know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Van Dusen?
Boxers and perhaps.
All right, go ahead. I'm
all right,
sorry.
So.
Yeah. We digress.
Top.
A couple of weeks ago, my daughter had called out and... Apparently, I didn't know
discarded
that she
called bathing
out.
Suit.
Does she wear socks?
Hey.
My wife?
Yeah.
Only in the winter.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. just asking questions.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sure. And I get a... So my daughter had called out for us.
Does she ever wear fishnets?
Not to sleep.
Jeez. Doesn't have to be to sleep. Just ever.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the mood.
Well, give me a call.
We'll be back with you in a second.
So, you were saying.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
So, anyway.
I don't know what happened. This
apparently, my.
So, your wife was sleeping.
Yes. And apparently, my daughter.
Does she put on lotion before bed?
She does.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
there's
sure.
a great.
Cucumber scent.
There's a great lotion scene in American Horror Story.
It's fantastic.
I'm not sure that we want a lotion scene in a horror movie.
Oh, it's great.
Really?
Please, guys.
Well, it puts the lotion on
its skin.
I know that I haven't been a good trooper for the Larry David Show, but please watch this.
We're in tonight.
Anyway, go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
All right. So, my daughter had called out this one night, and I think she had called out a couple of times, and I didn't hear it. At least I didn't think I heard it.
Yeah.
My wife, I think, nudged me at one point. Get up, she's calling.
Where did she nudge you?
And
no, that's gay.
That is?
That's
I was,
very gay.
But, okay. But what had happened was I was still sleeping, but I guess she woke me up enough.
Daddy! Daddy!
Papa!
Papa!
It's Papa!
Papa!
There it is.
Papa!
Like that.
Sorry.
Why is mom covered in lotion?
That's not lotion.
Oh, now you see you have it. Oh,
Will, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
You stopped your own thread there.
Jeez.
Thank you.
Well, I was still sleeping. I got up and I went around the house. I didn't know she was, I was still sleeping, so I didn't know what was going on. I went to every doorway of the house and stopped, and I remember it now that
so
she
Melissa
brought,
told you this?
Yeah, well, she didn't know that I had started going around the house.
Okay.
But I now that I can kind of think back to it, I kind of remember it. See, I don't have headphones. I don't know what you're playing over
here. Eerie music.
Oh, thank you. And,
naked Melissa music.
But I had stopped in our bedroom doorway.
Yes.
Yes.
And just stood there for a while.
Yes.
And then turned around and went back into bed.
Right.
And she said, "What are you doing?"
I said, "What are you doing?"
I said, and so then I started talking to her, and I was getting angry. She said, "What are you doing?" And I said, and I started talking all gibberish.
Right.
And then she said, "Mark, what are you talking about?" And I said, "I was just sitting listening to that project I was working on for the show and checking to make sure it sounded okay."
Oh.
And she said, "What? What the hell are you talking about?"
Wow.
And then I started getting angry and frustrated with
That's scary.
Yeah. And I started to go back to sleep. I got up again and started. I would go to different points of the room and just stop and just stand there.
Your wife, that would terrify me.
Oh, yeah. She was freaked out.
Was she really freaked
out? Yeah, she was freaked out.
Is there medicine you can take for that?
I don't know.
Or is there medicine that made you do it?
There's an app for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How high were you when you went to bed?
I don't know. No more than usual.
Okay.
I applaud that.
That's the right answer.
I applaud that.
What if we tied a string to your ankle and to the bedpost? So that it would stop you from walking.
I would trip.
That's a great. That Rob, with all of his solutions, coming from the 1740s.
I learned a lot of my medical treatment from the Three Stooges.
Warner Brothers.
But all this makes me.
What if we put a lion in your bedroom?
Look at your toes. Right.
All and this, a porter.
A very excitable porter, Mike.
It makes me nervous.
Yes.
About this trip,
gentlemen.
About the RV trip.
Oh, you're going to be fine.
I'll be fine.
Well, this is what's going to be
You'll
great.
Be in a motel room, so you'll be safe.
I'm worried if I pass out during the day or so while we're driving.
Mike will yell at you, and then it'll stop. That's really what happens.
We'll just give you a good slap.
Right.
That's why I'm nervous.
In your sleepwalking, did you pick up any instruments of any sort, like a knife or anything?
No.
Then you'll be fine.
No, I didn't.
But I would have a knife or an axe.
Seriously,
though,
I would be freaked out if I was your wife.
Oh, I would too.
I'm freaked out.
Yeah.
Because I've never done that as far as I know. No one's ever told me that. She's never told me that in the years
that we've
been together.
I'd be freaked out if you were his wife.
You're stressing over work and your sleep. This can't be good.
What happened to your daughter?
Come back to bed.
I just never went in there, I guess.
What was that? What was the question?
Because the whole point, that the reason he got up was to see his daughter.
Right, because she was calling out for me. And I think I went back to bed. And I guess
Point did Maya have a remote control and appear to be controlling you?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Papa.
What's wrong, Maya?
Papa, help me. You're gonna die in there.
Oh, no.
That's actually a line from American Horror Story.
That's a buzzkill.
Carol Ann.
Yes,
Carol Ann.
But thank God the daughter on American Horror Story that I'm talking about is nothing like your daughter.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Trust me.
I got to see this.
Wow.
What station is it on again?
FX.
In
fact, the daughter on American Horror Story is a very unique character. Mm-hmm. Very unique. Trailblazing as far as not that type of character hasn't been used on a show before, but it's used. So the sleepwalking.
Do you remember Blair's cousin from The Facts of Life?
Yes.
No.
Is it like that?
No, yeah. I can't say anything because I'm going to get in trouble.
Who's more?
Think Corky.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Remember Jerry on The Facts of Life.
What's the question?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you who was more trailblazing, but you just answered
it. Who's more upset at me right now, Oscar or Tanner?
Anyway, go ahead.
The
most trailblazing character as a daughter that I've seen in years is the daughter from Shameless.
No,
this is
like to blaze her trail.
I'm not going to. I'll let the cat out of the bag because it really doesn't change things that much. It's using a character with Down syndrome is very rare.
It is.
It is.
You're right.
It's used more commonly.
Does the character have Down syndrome in the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, it's someone who has Down syndrome who got the role.
Right.
So I think that's great.
And it's also got a word that I heard when I was growing up to describe those people that you never hear anymore.
Oh, so it's not appropriate.
It's not appropriate at all. Yeah. And so
we'll tell you later.
You actually should.
Shocker, you know.
Well, no, it's mongoloid.
Yeah.
Right.
That you hear mongoloid.
I never heard that before.
The mongoloid was used. And that was used.
Yes.
This is how bad. How much society has progressed.
Yeah.
You have that used, and Jessica Lange actually. I'm giving away the whole show,
yeah, don't do
and
that.
I don't want to give away the whole show.
Well, the whole show is the fact they use the word mongoloid. I don't see much of a conflict.
What's great about it? Mm-hmm. If you guys get a chance
tonight,
has anybody T-voted it? Has
yes.
anybody you, yeah. you've T-voted it?
Yeah. It's have probably
you,
on
no, but
on
I will.
Demand.
FX will run it 100 times.
Yeah, that's they true.
Think so?
Last night I was full up with X Factor and the George Harrison show.
I was going to ask about that. Did you see X Factor? Because it's like it's in a new chapter now.
A new phase, right?
Carla, first of all, this is my reality quotient. Carla's got the biggest loser on when I walk into the bedroom.
That show's
and
still on?
We have a fight about
Robert
that.
Robert loves it
We
now.
Have a fight about that. Then it's like, what are we going to watch? And we compromise and watch Survivor. Carla yeah. loves the reality TV.
I saw that.
And I can tolerate Survivor.
So you
and
compromised then, on a show that, what, you hate less? Because you don't like Survivor.
Right. No, I don't
That's
like Survivor.
That's a horrible compromise.
But I watch Survivor because Survivor can at least get my interest. And so... And it's to, you know, she doesn't want, she watches shows that she doesn't dig with me sometimes.
Something to watch together.
So we watched it together. Right. And then it was X Factor. I said, no, I'm reality'd out.
Yeah.
And then by that time, it was time for the horror story.
Right.
It was terrific.
Rob, what did you think about the this next phase of that show?
I just saw a little bit of it. I like it. I like the direction this show is going. I think it's exciting.
It's
I think if people watch it and stay with it, they're not going to leave. I think the secret is going to get people to watch it.
It's interesting that I chose not to watch it. Mm-hmm. It was not that compelling. And I remember if I used to
Carla
have a choice
chose for you not to watch
but,
it.
No, but if I had a choice in the old days when it was, when it was American Idol,
right.
when it was first coming on, that was must watch. And
right.
that's what it's all about. It's must watch TV.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about asking Mark this anyway, so I'll ask him here and now.
Okay.
Why are you so into that show that America seems to be sort of tepid on?
I know why.
What?
And it's I think it's the same reason. Right. I think we both were Idol people from way back.
Right.
And we saw Simon leaving as the death of American Idol.
Yes.
I love seeing Simon back on television.
Well,
for me, the show is about Simon.
Yeah.
And I love Simon.
And my show
right.
That I'm more excited about than any of them is The Regulars.
Yeah. No. It's hot.
We will take
Very
a break
you, Mike,
and we will come back with the audio vault right after this.
If I needed someone to love, you're the one that I'd be thinking.
Welcome back to Mike O'Mara Show. That sounded weird. Welcome back. Hey, that's Governor Rick Perry of the state of Texas, and my upper lip sweats. Rob's Magic Audio Vault is brought to you by Encore Insurance
Encore!
Services, LLC. Encore, our partners in our trip out to Iowa, they're the ones that are making this thing happen.
Uh-huh.
We are very excited about it, although I am still nervous about RJ driving the
It'll
RV.
Be fine.
Of course,
just because I don't like the way he responds to nerves.
He's driven
me hundreds of miles.
He's a calm pilot.
And he gave you he double flipped you off today.
Yes, he
I
did.
Thought that was nice.
Double
Absolutely.
Pumper.
Yeah, double pumper.
I just don't want to hear metal grinding at any time on this trip. Even if you already have life insurance, you might be paying too much. Encore may be able to help.
That's
For a free hip. Quote, visit SmartTerm, two words, SmartTerm.com or call 866-347-5748. They'll compare rates to help you save. Licensing and disclaimer info at SmartTerm.com. Encore Insurance.
Encore!
Encore Insurance Services, official sponsor of the TMOS Iowa Road Trip.
Yay.
Or, as we like to call it, Road Trip 2011.
Yeah,
we're excited about that. Let's open up the audio
open
vault
the
for today. This is October 6th. It is a Thursday, 2011. Ooh. Take it away, Rob.
We touched on the passing of Steve Jobs at the beginning of the show before Oscar got here. I think it's worthy bringing it up again because he probably is closer in many ways to Oscar than any of us.
Love to get your guy Todd to come in. Would he be able to talk about Steve Jobs?
Absolutely.
Or do you think, we might have shot it today.
But let me
Steve
lead
Jobs.
With this. This is one thing. Steve Jobs did a commencement address at Stanford. And this was, I believe, his advice on how to achieve greatness.
You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever, because believing that the dots will connect down the road will give you the confidence to follow your heart, even when it leads you off the well-worn path.
And you brought up something earlier, Mike. You said he really is kind of like the Edison of our
generation.
And I agree.
Yeah,
and what you're hearing him say here is
not overhyped.
This is not something that wasn't said 100 or 150 years ago.
Right.
It's really just basic American, go get them.
Yeah.
And it's so nice coming from a guy that was that smart and that powerful to sort of reinforce the values that we all had growing up.
Also, I'm sure everybody knows this by now, but he marched to the beat of his own drum where he went to college, but he didn't take the assigned curriculum. He would just go to a different classes to the point where he basically left school and said, you know what? I'm just going to do what I know. What I know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I want to figure it out.
Yeah, he was a trailblazer. Yeah. He was an innovator, and you know, arguably a prickly guy, a tough guy.
Not easy to work with.
Taskmaster, but I think most geniuses are like that. Yeah. And you know, it was something that look what he contributed, and that's terrific. And I think that's a wonderful message to give to people that are just starting out, because you do have to believe in something.
Yeah,
if
you do.
Just get apathetic, as unfortunately the majority of Americans are, you know, then nothing gets done.
I don't even have the drive to be apathetic.
It reminds you, though, how lucky we are to do what we... And throughout the commencement speech, which has aired on multiple news channels.
And let me jump in with one other clip.
No,
hold that thought.
Yes.
Here he is, and this is so sad and telling. This is him talking about death. It's not... I shouldn't say sad. It's telling, but it's also... It's sort of inspiring.
Sure.
Here's Steve Jobs talking about death.
No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet... Death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And that is as it should be, because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new.
Oof. Amazing.
Interesting. Boy, interesting to have that perspective when you've got a fatal, a terminal illness.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And, you know, I'm still one of those, you know, I want to have my head frozen.
But anyway. Holding on to hope, Mike.
What I think is poignant, and you hear this all the time, and you hear it from him, he said, there's no way you can be great at something unless you truly love doing
right.
it.
Right.
And how lucky are we to be able to do this?
Exactly.
You know, and I had the exact same thought this morning, Oscar. Yeah. We are blessed in that way.
Yeah, and I'm damn good at it. And I tell all you guys that, and I don't say it enough to every single one of you in this room, how talented you all are. And really, to make me laugh, and I mean, I, for the very first time, I swear to God, regarding this podcast, I'd listen to tapes of old shows
right.
and stuff, but with this podcast, to turn it on and just really, not necessarily make me laugh, just be entertained
right.
by the whole hour.
You're very
great.
Nice to say that, and you mentioned that epiphany at the front of the show. Do I have a moment for counterpoint?
Yes, absolutely. Let's, in fact, do prepare 15 minutes for it tomorrow.
Tomorrow. No.
Why We Suck by Rob Spiewak.
And then the last thing I'd like to play, this was such a game changer, not just in computers, but advertising, and I think the way we look at the consumer market. This is a brief clip from the ad that only aired once on the 1984 Ooh. Super Bowl for the, I think it was for the Mac, when they debuted the Mac. And it just, it's one that has millions and millions of downloads on YouTube. People seeking out a commercial because they only aired it once.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. And you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
It was so
cool. Very cool. That's with the big guy on the screen.
Yeah, and they made it look like George Orwell's
and
book.
The lady with the hammer,
and
she was
going
to blow everything up. Very, very cool.
I've recently on the Mac train. I've recently really become an Apple guy.
Right.
And looking back, I can see how it could hit other people harder, but it really has become a part of my
life.
Let's Safe home, Steve
throw
Jobs.
The computers out the window. I think what changed it is this little device right here.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the gold standard, and I don't see that changing for any time. And what's hysterical for me, and these other companies that you know are clawing at this product every single day.
But they can't touch it.
They can't touch it. I've had the pretenders. Right. And once you get the real one, you're like, you don't think, when you know something's great, you never think about it anymore. You know, you just, you don't take it for granted, but you just sit there and go, oh, it's got to be this.
I learned something when I got my last cell phone plan. I said, Carrie, why do you think they give you the Droid for free?
Right. The only thing I'm going to say, with the new one, when you said the camera was better on the other one, I wish I'd had a better camera today when I, when I actually went out and you know how I don't have those shutters on the front?
Yes.
I was picking up one of my old shutters that blew off the house and I was going to take it to the Home Depot.
Right.
Yes. To match it?
To match it and see if I could get a new one. And lo and behold, a big fat spider. What kind of spider is that?
Oh, geez.
Take a peek.
I couldn't tell you. It looks like a black widow.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Is that an hourglass?
That is absolutely a black widow, Mike. Yeah. And what
would
you
like to see it? It's out on the front porch, gentlemen.
Basically, what you did is you built an environment perfect for a black widow out there. They like two things. They like dark, moist, quiet. Mm. The only thing they like better is areas where you do propane. They love the smell of propane because it draws their prey in.
Yeah, if it has an hourglass on the back, right?
That's Black Widow. I found one of my porch ones.
We will put that picture up on the website. And cool. I think, look, the thing is, I thought Black Widows were really small.
No, they can get bigger. Can I name it? I have a name for a Black Widow. Yeah. Altavies.
No, but that looks like a picture out of National Geographic.
It does.
Good job. You like that picture?
Yeah.
And I really wonder how great the new camera must be, because the camera in the iPhone is fantastic. I sprayed it
with Raid, and it's sitting out there right now. I could bring it
in
here.
And it looked
right
up to you and said, F you!
Damn you, Omera.
They compare the camera to some of these DSLRs out there.
Right. Wow.
So that's how great it is.
Well, yeah. Someday.
Well, it was moving when I took that picture, too.
Well, I found it moving just to look at it.
All right, great. We'll put the picture up, and if anybody wants to comment on it, we do think, I believe that is a Black Widow.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure it is. I'm delighted to reveal that there is new tape of Michael Jackson slurring, Mike.
Oh, no.
This is a tape that came out on his trial yesterday talking about children and how he relates to children because he didn't have a childhood.
Can I tell you something? Hearing this made me think maybe he wasn't a pedophile.
Okay, let's listen to it.
I can agree with Buzz in that.
All right, let's listen.
I love him because... I didn't have a childhood.
I love them because I didn't have a childhood. Hold on, here's more.
Lock that document. I love them because I didn't have a childhood. I had no childhood. I feel their pain. I feel their hurt. I hurt, you know? I hurt. Okay?
Sounds pretty good to me.
Sounds to me like it's Friday night.
But that's Mike watching the next episode of American Horror
That'll
Story.
That'll be before we get to Pittsburgh on the bus.
Now, here's, I think, the most damning piece of evidence that they introduced in the case yesterday. This is a message that Michael Jackson's manager left for Dr. Conrad Murray a few days before Michael died. They saved this as a voicemail.
I'm sure you're aware he had an episode last night. He's sick. I think you need to get a blood test on him today. We got to see what he's doing.
I mean, really, there's obviously concern
other
there.
People.
And you go straight to his physician. And
why
the physician
were all of Michael
nothing.
Jackson's managers like mafia guys? We got to get a blood test, see what he's up to.
What, didn't he start out with that guy, Frank DeLeo?
Who just passed away recently.
I'm really concerned about Michael.
We got to get a blood test. Hey, what's the deal with Michael?
Okay, I got time for a couple more, Rob.
All right, on the Phillies Cards game last night, I give MVP to the squirrel. Did you see this?
I did not see the squirrel. Did not watch the game last night.
A squirrel ran across home plate during a pitch.
And there's a squirrel that ran right in front of home plate. We saw the squirrel yesterday, and now he is in the stands. So obviously with tickets for each of the first two games here in St. Louis.
And, of course, it comes up in the press conference with Phillies manager Charlie Manuel.
There's not too much I can do about a squirrel running across the field. I don't know what I can do about that.
This guy's old school.
Of course, being from the South and... being a squirrel hunter, if I had a gun there, I might have could do something. I'm a pretty good shot. Squirrel hunter.
Charlie Manuel. That's not a Billy Bean guy right there. Charlie Manuel kind of does it with his gut.
No. Squirrel.
One quick, Mike. Have you wondered what Anthony Smith is up to?
No, I haven't. Who's Anthony Smith?
Do you know who Anthony Smith is? He's one of your favorite rap singers.
Really?
Tone Loc.
Oh, Tone Loc. I love Tone Loc.
A couple days late on this, but I know you like to keep up on Tone Loc.
Of course.
Here's what Anthony Smith is up to, Mike.
A no contest plea for an 80s rap star. Let's do the wild ride. Tone Loc, real name Anthony Smith, known for that 1988 hit Wild Thing, among others, pleading to one count of corporal injury to a spouse and another for having an unregistered assault weapon in his possession.
He needed $50 to make her holler. He gets paid to do the Wild Thing. It is horrible.
Oh, that's a shame. Funky Cold Medina.
Now, I'll close with, I know you like George Clooney. George Clooney is great. Do you know he has that palace, that cottage, I suppose.
On Lake Como over there in Italy. Lake Homo.
And he has a lot of people come over to visit him. His thing is to get news people to get naked and jump in the lake.
Let me just tell you, I got Charlie Rose to jump in the lake a few weeks ago. It started with Walter Cronkite about 6 years ago.
Wow.
And he was 89 years old. And we all were drinking whiskey, and we all jumped in the lake at about 1 in the morning. And then I said to David Gergen, well, you know, Walter Cronkite jumped in the lake. And then I got Gergen to do it. And then I got... I think Charlie Rose to do it as well. So I'm getting all these world-class journalists drunk and dumping them in the lake.
And the last thing, I close with this. Here is the reason George Clooney is not on the Twitter. He will not go on Twitter.
Huh. I don't Twitter because I will drink it in the evening, and I don't want anything that I could possibly write at midnight to actually end my career.
Yeah.
You can go kiss my ass.
And that, Mike, that is your magic audio ball.
We'll take a break, come back with Buzz and news right after this.
Moving right along in search of good times and good news. Yeah. With good friends you can lose. This could become
a... Welcome back to MikeOmeraShow.com. Let's get him in here right away. Mr. Buzz Burbank, take it away, Buzz.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by iConfidential.com. With million-dollar coverage and the same security as your bank, iConfidential is the safe way to organize, access, and share your files, pictures, and music anywhere. Use the code TMOS to get the first month free. After that, just $7.95 a month. Store files, grab them anywhere with your own 40 gig of organized storage. Now have all your important stuff available on demand. It's like a file cabinet in the sky with iConfidential. iConfidential.com. Click their ad on our website.
That was my favorite song by the Alan Parsons Project. File cabinet in the sky.
Thank you. That's Rob Spiewak, everyone.
Now, before we move on to other news, I came across this morning some facts I certainly didn't know about Steve Jobs. I don't think most people did either. Did you know that he was born to a Syrian Muslim grad student in San Francisco who put him up for adoption?
I had absolutely no idea about
dropped
it.
Out of his first year of college.
That music is Oscar so mysterious.
You know, Oscar, after he dropped out of college, he earned money by selling Coke bottles and lived by eating free meals at the Hare Krishna temple.
Wow.
He and Steve Wozniak built their first personal computer in Steve's parents' garage in 1976. In 83, he invented the computer mouse. I didn't know he invented the mouse.
Yes, and then Bill Gates stole it.
86, he bought Pixar. I didn't know this. Maybe others did. He returned to the Apple company later, but at Pixar went on to release Toy Story, which changed animation forever and made Steve the billionaire that he became. Then with the Apple company dying in 96, Jobs came back. After having been forced out of the company, he returned at a salary of $1 a year to continue his work. And this
I bet
year,
he could have gotten more than that.
As we have mentioned before, ExxonMobil was surpassed by Apple as the world's biggest company. And this, I didn't know, posted a bigger cash reserve than the United States Treasury.
Yeah.
Wow. A new study indicates that 91%... Of all
Apple. Hey.
Hey. Orange.
Hey, Apple. Hey. Apple. Hey, Apple. Hey, Apple. Apple. Hey. Hey, Apple.
What? What? What is it?
Orange, you glad I didn't say Apple again?
That is one annoying orange.
It is.
A new study indicates that 91% of all prospective employers will check your Facebook page before deciding whether to hire you.
Mike did before he started the podcast.
Hey,
did
you hear about the part where Facebook now can tell what you're doing once you go off of Facebook when you're online?
Yes.
That's kind of creepy, isn't it? Facebook can track what you're surfing.
Anytime you go to, like if you go to the Huffington Post, for example, you may get a pop-up that says, would you like this on Facebook? Well, that's how and when they are tracing your movements over at Facebook.
Oh, so you have to like something for them to know it.
Right, that is very creepy to me.
But just the fact that pop-up appeared when you went to Huffington Post means they already know you're there. Whether you click like or not.
I got one.
Do we
I
have
got
to delete our cookies?
I got an email. I got an email from my regular Facebook with some guy's name that I didn't know. Mm. I open it up. It's a picture of a hot woman. Mm. And it says, would you like to see my pictures and click on this? I delete it immediately.
Yeah. You know who got hacked yesterday?
Who's that?
Laughed at this. Vaughn Ververs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got like 50,
the old
50
CBS
messages.
News analyst.
50 messages from him. It's like, I like you. And it's me and 800 people I don't know.
Is there anything more embarrassing when that happens?
Oh, it happened to me.
Especially a corporate email where you're like,
I hate it.
It usually says, like, I seen you dancing last night. You won't believe the picture I have of you.
Yes.
I'm not writing from Nigeria.
And so you have over 90% of companies checking people's Facebooks before deciding whether to hire them. So far, the companies doing this, nearly 70% of them, nearly 7 out of 10, have actually turned down applicants based on what they found on those Facebook pages. Usually it was a lie that the applicant told either in their interview or on their job application that got exposed when the Facebook page was checked.
I think that's pretty progressive.
Yeah,
I think if you got somebody you want to vet somebody a little bit, go on their Facebook page. You'll find out a lot about them.
Yeah, but mine is littered with lies.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Rob, there's one thing where Rob writes extensively about when Obama had that golf tournament with Secretary Speaker Boehner.
Right. Who's the enemy?
And it was Rob was comparing him to Hitler.
Yeah, that's not right.
But I wouldn't have hired him.
No.
But Mike, be fair. I compare everyone to Hitler. That's my yardstick.
Incidentally, you want a great take on that if you see a replay of this, The Daily Show, probably covered that in as funny a way as anybody, the Hank Williams Jr. thing. Hysterical.
Oh, the Occupy Wall Street protests have been underway for nearly 3 weeks now and have promoted themselves with a new name, Occupy America. That's because the protest has spread far beyond the biggest cities to places like...
Viva la Revolution!
Right. In places like Hartford, Connecticut, Kansas City, and Savannah, Georgia. The New York protest grew by 20,000 people yesterday as more union members hit the streets.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you talk about Savannah, Georgia, New York City, and Hartford, Connecticut, where the hip people are.
That's right.
Where do you come from?
Hartford, Connecticut.
No kidding.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank
now, the rich, oddly enough, some of them starting to kick back. A sign in the window of one Wall Street firm yesterday proclaimed, "We are the 1%. Was that wise?
Well, that's a smartass.
There is, by the way, a proposal by a Republican lawmaker that the rich be allowed to check a box on their tax forms, putting them into a higher tax bracket voluntarily.
My brother-in-law would say that's a traitor. That's a traitor. Yeah, about that we are the guy that puts that in the window. That's a traitor.
Well, that brings us to presidential candidate Herman Cain, who weighed in on the protesters yesterday.
Don't blame Wall Street. Don't blame the big banks. If you don't have a job and you're not rich, blame yourself.
You don't.
Spoken like a true rich guy.
Oh, and I found out you asked about Godfather's Pizza.
Yes.
They have them in Coralville.
They do. Really?
There's a Godfather's and a Bennigan's in Iowa City.
Wow.
So that apparently is where chain restaurants go to die.
And
if you're not satisfied with your pizza, blame yourself.
I'm going to both of those.
Don't blame the delivery man.
Oh, speaking of that, since you guys brought it up, we really do have to map out the eating schedule.
Yes. Really? Why?
Well, what's the point of traveling across the country if we're not going to go to cool place.
Discovery.
Yeah.
Last time I traveled cross country, which was within the last year or so, found maybe the greatest restaurant, and it was just completely by accident. I saw a billboard, and I said, I have to stop there, and I couldn't have been gladder that I did.
Was it the Mile High Pie place?
It's also good to be, you know, a little... It was the place with foot-high pies.
That's what it was.
And old man, look at yourself eating Mile High Pies.
My pie.
Old man likes pie.
I'd like to see you turn it down.
I saw last night on the Food Network, best thing I ever ate, New Orleans.
Yeah,
oh, my
love it.
God.
And the banana cream pie at Emerald's place down there.
Quick detour?
No, there's
Can
a place.
Can we reroute?
First of all, there's a lot of your Italian in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Which is where I believe we're going to be stopping for din-din.
Hey, right, do you like Italian?
You like that?
Yeah.
So there's some options there. I might map out a food tour.
Fine. I think that's fine.
I think, what the hell? We're
that's
driving.
Brilliant.
That's the only thing we're going to have to look forward to.
My family.
Except each other's farts.
Oh, and Oscar blacking out. Can we have a pool?
Mark sleepwalking.
A pool?
Yeah, at what time Oscar blacks out.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
As soon as I take two Ambien.
Sarah Palin made it official yesterday. She's not running for president in 2012.
I'm thankful that I believe I, not being a candidate, really you're unshackled and you're allowed to be even more active. And I look forward to helping coordinate the strategies that will assist in replacing our president.
And then Chris Christie ate her.
I like to hear when she says... Shackles.
I
like thinking about her in shackles.
You just settled down.
I don't know where I heard it, but
pink furry shackles.
I heard it yesterday that they said that Sarah Palin's going to be like the John Madden, to put it in football terms, of our lifetime, where she will always be involved in these races and in politics, but she'll never have the balls to actually run.
Right.
I totally agree. I think she likes money too much. I think she likes being famous too much.
Yeah. She likes blow too much.
You know, snorting coke off of oil drums too much.
But she'll always be around. She'll always be a player.
She's cemented that.
Yeah.
I look forward to the video game.
She's been hit by the lucky stick.
I'll make a prediction right now. I'd say within five years, she marries into some Hollywood famous guy.
I agree. Todd will not be her husband within 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they'll probably stick together through the election.
Right.
And then she'll start courting, like, who would she like? A Bill Macy, a William H. Macy.
I think she's
a fame whore. That's why.
Yeah, she's
she
going to
a fame whore.
She'll go with money, too. It's got to be fame and a lot of dough.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
By the way, Fox News mastermind Roger Ailes has admitted the obvious. Yesterday he said, and I quote, "I hired Sarah Palin because she was hot and got ratings." That's no politics. You're just
very
hot.
Same way we put the podcast together.
It's hard to prove global warming, but it's even harder to write it off when you come across items like these. Scientists say it's not your imagination. The autumn leaves really are turning later than they used to. Now October instead of September. And armadillos may be coming to Washington, D.C. That's a sign of global warming. Because armadillos used to never live any further north than Texas or Florida. They've already spread to north to states like Missouri, and scientists believe they are headed here to Virginia and Washington, D.C.
I've never seen one in real life. I'd like to see one.
I'd like to see an armadillo.
You could feed one a black widow.
That's good. Check out after the show is
Dude,
over.
Dude, I am all over
Go
it.
Out of my front porch and look at the black widow.
We might find a couple on the road, armadillos.
We might.
That's right.
The biggest medical marijuana dispensary in America has just been hit with a $2.5 million tax bill.
From
the IRS.
We got to wrap it up, Buzz.
We're wrapping it up.
Thank you.
The owner says it's an attempt to drive him out of business. The IRS has ruled the dispensary cannot deduct business expenses, including employee salaries. Harborside Health Center has already paid the city of Oakland $1.3 million in taxes.
More like Tokeland, am I right? Tokeland.
Tokeland, California.
I like Tokeland. Oh, hey,
there's our Harborside card right there.
Fantastic.
She's also a client.
Cappy's a pothead. Let me see.
That's an actual medical marijuana dispensary card to Harborside.
It actually has the little holes punched in
just like a Subway.
I was going to say, it's like your next high is free.
Yeah. Why Cappy and Buzz get along so well? By Mike O'Mara.
When you buy your 10,000.
Who's your favorite house guest?
You get a dime bag for free.
Finally, police in Farmington, Michigan got a call last month about a 2002 Buick Regal that was a rocking in a parking lot with the windows steamed over.
Nice.
On closer inspection, sure enough, a couple was having sex inside. The guy had found himself a cougar. The guy is 54.
Oh.
The cougar is 71.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Alcohol was involved.
There you go.
The cops asked the guy what he was up to. Quoting him, "I'm effing this chick." I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Awesome.
That's a good kicker. That's it. We got to get out of here. Our show today brought to you by MC Ginsburg. MC Ginsburg. Ginzy, as we call him, is your very own fun factory. It's jewelry of all kinds, little works of art that you create yourself. Don't buy something a million other people get. If you need an object or dream up an object, contact MC Ginsburg. Visit MC Ginsburg. Whatever. Yep. MC Ginsburg, MC Ginsburg, MC Ginsburg.
What's up?
MCGinsburg.com. We got to get out of here. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Catch up.